Hi, this is Sonequa Martin-Green. You're listening to The Walking Dead Girl.
Hello, everybody. This is Jasmine.
And I'm Michael.
And I'm The Walking Dead Girl. You're listening to The Walking Dead Girl, episode 126. In this podcast, we review and discuss the hit TV show The Walking Dead from AMC. In addition to reviewing the show, we play listener feedback, so join the conversation.
And if you want to give us feedback, you can do it in multiple ways. You can send email to talkback@thewalkingdeadgirl.com. You can go to our website, thewalkingdeadgirl.com/voicemail, to find out how to leave a voicemail feedback. And you can post a comment on our Facebook page, facebook.com/thewalkingdeadgirlpodcast. We might read your comment on the air.
Before we get started, I want to remind you guys that we'll be discussing every gory detail about the TV show, so obviously there will be spoilers. So make sure you watch the current episode before listening.
You haven't told me how your show went at school. I think you played Cleopatra.
I played Queen Cleopatra from Antony and Cleopatra by William Shakespeare.
Oh, that sounds. Did you have to like speak in these Shakespearean English?
Heightened English, they call it. Yes, it's between standard American and British. So it was kind of like.
How did the show go? I wish I could.
Grab thou thy fruitful tidings in my ear. It was really good. We had two shows. It was a dress rehearsal, which was technically a rehearsal.
Say one line from the show.
I'll say like the biggest line because I'm a very angry woman. I'm like bipolar. Sometimes I'm really happy and then I can get really upset because I'm a queen. So I kill people on a whim. I like the analogies like, so half my eve did were submerged and made a cistern for scaled snakes. Get thee gone. Hadst thou Narcissus in thy face to me, thou wouldst appear most ugly. There's a lot of S's because she's like very snake-like. Serpents are her thing. She gets killed by committing suicide with like serpents. Like they have her bite her and poison her.
Spoiler alert. Everybody knows that, I guess. That's how she died. I saw it on one of the history shows or something where they were talking about.
The legend goes that Antony, which is the conqueror of Rome, who is was conquering with Caesar, Caesar's nephew. He was trying to kill her because she abandoned him in war because they were warring against Rome, and Antony was in love with Cleopatra, so he sided with her. So she used his armies. She used her armies, but then she left. She's like, screw it. Cause she's bipolar, right? So she can't make up her mind who she wants to support. So he killed himself because they killed him. Yeah. No, the other conquerors of Rome killed him and he was going to kill her. It was kind of like a Romeo and Juliet thing where one person thought they were dead. So they killed himself. So when she actually found out he died for real and she faked her death, she was really upset. So she had, her servants get her two poisonous snakes and have her bite her. And she died that way. Because she was a prisoner, so she refused to be taken by Rome. A fierce woman.
So how was the reception of your performance?
People loved it. They thought there was two Cleopatras, and to be honest, they thought my Cleopatra was better. But I don't know. I'm not going to say anything because I didn't see hers. But I definitely got the better costume because I was the first one for the costume appointment, so I got all the good stuff.
It reminds me of deja vu of when you were playing Jasmine in high school.
Versus Jasmine, yeah. How I had to compete and I got the extensions for Jasmine's hair and she didn't. our show was the last one as well. And the scene was really fun because it's a very physical scene. I get to beat up the messenger who tells me that Antony, the love of my life, remarried. So I'm kind of like, tell me the news. Is he dead? Is he alive? Why are you look so ugly? Why do you look so upset? And he doesn't want to tell me because he knows that if he gives the bad news, I'll kill the messenger, you know, don't shoot the messenger type of thing. So we go back and forth where I'm like persuading him with money and then I'm like beating him up. I actually slap him and I kick him twice and I actually pull out a knife from underneath my bed and then all my servants have to hold me back as I do like a battle cry. It was so much fun. What I learned from it is to command the stage. Cause as a queen, I can't be apologetic. I have to really own the space. So what I did, coming out is they have a transition light. So I'm in shadow and I come out as they roll out my big bed with all the pillows and I have my arms up in the shadows, and then the lights come up, and I'm like, look like a queen. And then I lie on my bed, and the beginning is really funny. I'm like, give me some music. And so they have a guy come out with a guitar. He's like strums one note. He's like really excited to play for the queen. And I'm like, let it alone. Like, I'm none now. Like, I don't want it anymore. And he just goes out really sad. They love that. There's a lot of, it's a serious play, but there's a lot of comedy because of how crazy my character is. And then people's reactions, my co-star's reactions is what makes it funny.
Speaking of people going on a suicide mission or killing themselves, we had an episode of The Walking Dead, which featured a Cleopatra character. No, I don't know. I'm just making stuff up.
You're just making up stuff. Yeah.
No, I'm just trying to segue. But yeah, so we had the Sasha Rosita relationship thing, and you know, I know you mentioned off the air that, you know, you didn't really like the episode.
The only part I liked about the episode is their scenes. Like, that was, everything else was unnecessary in my opinion.
Yeah.
Or I didn't really care for.
Yeah, I think that's good, because I think I agree in there that the Sasha Rosita relationship and dialogue was pretty good. And the first time I saw it, I was fine. And then as I watched it a second time, and then I started getting into the characters, into the mind of the characters, and especially
very
Sasha.
Revealing. Yeah.
I got a little emotional because, you know, when Sasha was like
listening, are you talking about when she was listening in to Jesus and Maggie?
Both. Yeah. That, and when she, like, her mindset is basically, you know, I'm on a suicide mission and this is my final, my final hours, basically. These are my final hours on this earth. And, you know, this is what I'm doing. And then her whole thing with Rosita,
she decided to really start talking to her, because every time Rosita would say something like, leave me alone, she would just walk off. But,
and now Rosita probably feels like crap, because, you know, this woman is off, you know, to her death, killing herself. And I was so upset at her for like some stupid Abraham relationship crap.
Which they decided to just let go of anyway when they were bonding.
Yeah. So it was emotional.
Yeah. It was really emotional.
It's becoming a drama. I mean, it was always a drama show, but like last few episodes, like this season especially, this is just all drama and no walkers and no survivalist stuff.
The thing I have a problem with this season and a little bit of the first half of the season is that the writing is really bad.
Really?
And now that I'm getting to know what it's like to write stuff and what good scripts are and how to act around bad scripts, I'm noticing I'm starting to cringe a little bit when I watch these scenes. Like when I was watching the scene between Jesus and Sasha, when Jesus was like telling Sasha she has to tell Maggie if she's going, I was cringing because like the dialogue was so poor. I don't know. But like there was one moment where Jesus, like he said, you had to tell her. And then like there's a moment and they deliberately took a step and then said the same exact thing, but just closer. I thought it was so cheesy. I'm like, what? And like these actors are trying really hard to make it work.
Especially even though the Rosita Sasha dialogue was revealing, even that was a little clunky, because the way Rosita phrased it was like, what is she friggin' trying to say?
Like, yeah, like just she kept repeating the word bounce, and then he bounced. And like she's saying something really deep and profound, but they're covering for her with like this simple language. I don't know what it was.
They're trying to you know, fit the dialogue to the character, obviously, to her personality. Yeah. But I'm just saying, like, the way she, I have an audio clip we'll play later, but the way she said, because I'm thinking, okay, here's the moment where everyone's going to find out why Rosita is pissed off, right? This is the moment.
This is it.
This is, okay, this is why Rosita's pissed off and everybody should accept it and move on. And I'm listening to this thing, and it's still not 100% clear. And the way it was worded, it was, I had to listen to it two or three times to get it. And it shouldn't be that way, right? You should just get it the first time. But anyway.
Yeah, I don't know. I just didn't like the writing for the show. I thought the acting was really good for what they have.
But I know I like, but it was a good episode overall. I mean, it and obviously we didn't get to the conclusion we wanted. Negan dead. But of course, I didn't.
Obviously, they're never going to give you that much. Yeah.
I don't think anyone expected that anyway. I mean, it's kind of obvious from a mile away that this little mission was never going to amount to anything, really.
Yeah, from the moment that they started to decide, they couldn't decide whether or not they were going to be shooting from afar or going in. I'm like, yeah, they're going to try both.
Yeah.
Both is going to go down. But yeah, let's get to the cold open. Do you want to go?
This is pretty long. It's a pretty long open. It was like
this
kind
is
of
the
a,
open that they showed at the Paley Fest. The whole thing. Yeah.
It was kind of a montage.
Montage.
It was a montage of when I was watching this, I think this is like a comedic moment missed, but not on this show. But like if someone was gonna do like a spoof of The Walking Dead.
I did not like this cold open. It was like, super cheesy.
They were showing all these things, and then they would I would laugh if like they just threw a scene that was like totally random, like some guy like taking a pee in a corner or something.
Yeah, something that's completely not appropriate for the situation.
Or someone playing volleyball or something. I don't know, just like something totally off that would just.
I didn't like this cold open because it was too like overacted. Like they were, I don't know, maybe it's just Jesus, but like this is the only thing, that's the thing that popped out when Jesus was, when Maggie fell asleep and then Jesus was like writing something and he's just like, I'm showing you, but I can't speak. And then he just like taps his pen on his book and then he looks up all of a sudden. He's like, oh, she's asleep. And then I was like, so dramatic. I don't know.
Well, because she's asleep so that she can hand the diagram to Sasha.
I know, but there were just certain things, like certain looks that Sasha made when she was just like.
At the beginning, when it first opens up with Maggie, she's blurry, right? And then it focuses on her as she comes closer to the camera.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's symbolic of Maggie is becoming, she's more focused and sure of what she's doing now.
Yeah.
Things before were blurry, now they're sharp and focused. She's determined. And her, you know, making lists and stuff, she knows what she needs to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Maggie trains Enid to throw a huge knife.
And she gets a bullseye.
Like, she's holding it, like, in her, like, flimsy little hand. She doesn't have this powerful arm. And she's like, and she throws it, and boom. Like, that knife is too big for Enid.
So, are they trying to suggest that she's good with a knife now? Like, that's her special thing?
Well, I think they were showing that Maggie's passing down to Enid, like, her knowledge and stuff.
Yeah.
Enid is basically finding her place in the group, because Enid was an outcast, right?
Yeah.
And I think they're showing that Enid is becoming part of the group now.
And Sasha says it later when she said, you know, Maggie trusts you, you're part of this thing. I really liked how they treat her as part of the community, because even though she's young, they still respect her as a part of the group and just as much responsibility as other people. But yeah, so they're training and we see a lot of shots of Maggie making notes. Oh, you wrote down the stuff too. I wrote the same things. You know, and this is right before Rosita gets to town. So this is like right days before.
Mm-hmm. So and, it's kind of a little bit of a flashback. Like they've time shifted a bit to show us what happened
and
in the meantime.
Yeah, Jesus is also working with them as well, like overseeing things and helping with plans, especially. And yeah, we saw where Jesus gave Sasha the map of the compound. I don't think she asked for it. I think he just gave it to her, right?
Probably
she looked shocked.
Yeah.
Well, she looked surprised.
Well, yeah, I assume Jesus doesn't, because later on he confronts her like, oh, where are you going? So I guess he didn't really know everything.
Mm.
Well, I have to say when they show Maggie's ultrasound.
Uh-huh.
Didn't the ultrasound look like a huge baby in the picture? I think that was
a
blooper.
Yeah, she doesn't have a stomach either. I don't know.
Because one of our listeners posted on Facebook that Maggie doesn't look pregnant at all.
Yeah.
And in the ultrasound, they had this part which looked like a baby. It had the head and the body. So I'm like, that's impossible.
This needs to be accurate to what it really would be. Like, what week are we in? I know that she just got pregnant recently, but they should match the ultrasound to the body.
Yeah. I mean, or make the stomach bigger or something. At least show like, oh, her stomach's getting bigger. Or just put like a little peanut in the ultrasound.
Anyway, I don't want to spend too much time on this cold open, but
why not?
She talks because this is a waste of time. Okay.
Okay, this part's
the
good.
The one though. Is important with Maggie and Daryl is important. Yeah, that actually made me tear up.
This is important.
When Maggie comes over to Daryl as he's sitting alone by himself, and she leaves him some food, and she touches his shoulder. And when she walks back, she pauses and she like collects herself, like she's thinking about Glenn. And, you know, Daryl notices. And I think Daryl really does feel guilty. I mean, that's our thought process before we find out at the end that, yes, it's true. He does feel really guilty that it's his fault that Glenn is gone. And, you know, but Maggie is strong enough to regain her composure and continue to lead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's symbolic. Well, I think in this episode, they're showing what kind of leader Maggie is. And she's a different leader than, you know, Rick or anyone else. Where Maggie is kind of leading with the community and getting everyone involved. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I think
she's compassionate and she's a group leader, very much a group leader.
Yeah.
And she's the unofficial leader technically.
And later on, as we see with her and Daryl in the hideout, she's more controlled of her emotions. She has control of her emotions and knows
when is the right time.
Right.
Because she saw, if we're speaking about that scene, she saw the knife that was Enid's on the guy's front.
Yeah.
And I thought she was definitely going to go out and kill him.
Because she had a face, but, you know, it was like,
Yeah, but she had enough sense to just keep it quiet.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So it's basically trying to show that Maggie is a very, is a good leader. We'll see. It's hard to be. We'll see how it works out with her pregnancy as her stomach gets bigger and it's harder for her to move around. How that, like, she has to find, like, this is the war with Negan has to end before she gets more bigger in her stomach and it's harder for mm-hmm. her to move around, right?
Yeah.
Because you can't just run into a storage facility to hide from Negan later on.
And yeah, when she's like 8 months pregnant.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to stretch it out that long, but.
No, they have to take him out before because they can't. They were almost getting caught today or that day.
Maggie has to surround herself with an environment that helps her with her pregnancy.
Yeah, not stress her out.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. So.
And also, we see a little bit of Gregory.
Yeah. Again, he's so funny. He's just peeking out the window, looking at them grouping together, and he's drinking. And he's running out of alcohol, but he does have tequila, as you find out later. He's just switching drinks now. And I think this scene is important because Gregory knows what's going on, but he's not doing anything because he's a coward. But when Simon and his savior group come, we have a very interesting interactions we'll get to later.
Yeah.
I have some predictions.
Yeah. And then,
so after the cold open,
it finishes with her and Rosita and Sasha talking, which we saw in another episode before.
Yeah. And then we have the main scene where Maggie is apologizing to Jesus for taking over his trailer because it's his apartment or his place. And then we learn a little bit about Jesus because we learn the two characters we find the most about are Jesus and Rosita, which is very nice. I like those kind of scenes because we get to get more in depth with this character and get more background. But he mentions how he grew up in a group home and so it doesn't bother him. But this time he feels like he's closer with these people as like family than he did even with people that he lived with in the previous world.
There's different types of group homes. I guess he might be referring to a group home that takes in kids that
off the street,
either are not wanted from their parents or don't have parents, mm-hmm. or some situation were removed from their family and, you know, their foster kids or whatever. There's other group homes that are for the physically disabled or challenged people, but who knows what he went through. What it was, group home is just a general comment of basically he wasn't with his family. He was with strangers that became his family kind of thing. So it kind of mm-hmm. similar to what's going on at Hilltop, right?
Yeah. For the first time, I feel like I belong. I always found it hard to get close to anyone. And this is a very important, this is one of my favorite scenes. She says, you should try it sometimes, even if it doesn't last.
Yeah.
And it's amazing she says that because you could just see how much how strong she is. Because, she says even if it doesn't last, it's worth it. She still feels like her time with Glenn was worth all the pain afterward.
Mm.
And Sasha also hears that as well because she's kind of eavesdropping and she nods too as if like she agrees. you know, it's worth it.
Why do you think Sasha didn't interrupt them or just like kind of eavesdropping?
I think she just wanted to hear what they had to say because, you know, Sasha is technically kind of sneaking around with figuring out what to do. So anytime she could get like in-depth information about what's going on, it's good to kind of figure out her angle and how she should deal with what she wants to do.
I thought of it more of that too, but also thought that it's because of her destination that she wants to... She's leaving and she probably, I don't know, maybe she doesn't want to get too tied emotionally to everyone because that'll make it harder for her to leave. So she's kind of, because if you notice, she didn't really talk to anyone, socialize really.
Yeah.
Except
yeah.
for Rosita briefly, but mm-hmm. like she was alone. She was there for Maggie. Wolf. She was a lone wolf.
She was there for Maggie, but then stopped when she realized Maggie could take care of herself and start focusing on herself and developing her own storyline yeah. now.
Sasha was kind of a lone wolf in this episode, showing, you know, different than, you know, Maggie, who's very social and talking to everyone. Also, we reveal for the first time on the show that Jesus is gay mm-hmm. Because he says, you know, I can't make friends, boyfriends. And the only reason he would say boyfriends is to indicate that he's gay. And Maggie smiles with that. And... from what I know that from what I've read, this is already known in the comics. So in the comic book, Jesus has already been revealed as being gay. So now we see it for the first time on the TV show.
The show, yeah. But Maggie leaves to talk about spears with the blacksmith, I guess, because they're trading for the kingdom for body armor.
Oh, don't forget that Glenn was also used body armor.
Yeah, he did
frequently.
So yeah, Sasha gets caught because she found a book with his secret bullets in there and some keys. And it was really funny when she got caught. And this scene was like a little rough for me. This is where the bad writing came in. But yeah, Jesus begs for Sasha to delay her mission and wait for more people to join her. But Sasha's like, nah, man. And Edith tells Sasha she says, you have to tell Maggie.
The whole thing.
And she says, I can't tell her because she's not ready to deal with it. And then they're like, okay, fine. Well, then we'll come with you. Obviously, they said that. But she says, no, we need you here for whatever happens after. Which is kind of disconcerting because you're like, well, don't you think you're going on the solo mission to end it so it doesn't have to come back? So there won't be anything happen after?
I guess because you don't know because it's an unpredictable situation. You don't know what the other saviors are going to do.
Why waste your life? Unless you know you're gonna win, I don't know. I'm a realist, and I'm not. I would go with the group and do the best and smartest thing. I wouldn't go on by myself because
I don't know. I had a feeling in this episode that Sasha feels that she doesn't belong in the group anymore.
No,
really?
No, I think Rosita feels that way. Maybe, but no, I don't think Rosita does. I don't think Sasha does. I think Sasha feels accepted. She's part of the group.
So you think that she's basically going on...
She wouldn't be doing this if she didn't feel part of the group.
Yeah. But she's not careless, though, because when she was having the argument with Rosita, she wanted to make sure that Negan was killed, but not unnecessarily...
She didn't sound like she wanted to commit suicide. She's like, well, I would, if I have a chance to come back alive, I want to.
Right. To try
Rosita
again.
Rosita doesn't care. Yeah.
Yeah, so maybe she wasn't on the suicide mission, but she kind of knew the odds, the stakes, you know, the stakes mm-hmm. were high.
I like the line that Jesus said, it's a long life and then it isn't, because that's true. It's a very simple line. It's, you know, when you have your whole life ahead of you and then all of a sudden you don't.
See, there's some good lines.
That was the one good line in this episode. Yeah, I feel like this season's like season two of The Walking Dead. A lot of drama, a lot of setup.
Well, it's a lot of people figuring out their place in the world. You know, Rick, Michonne, Maggie, everyone, all the characters are figuring out their place. They're more mature. They, I mean, we know the past is the past, and now they're recent. Because, I mean, Rick was so arrogant and, you know, yeah. we can do anything in the past, and now he's more realistic. He's a more realist of what's going on, right?
Mm-hmm. At the end of the conversation, Sasha gives Enid a string that she was making for baby Glenn. And then Enid takes it, but she also says, look, I'm going to tell Maggie in 10 minutes.
That
do
part,
what you want with that.
That part was a little strange the way it happened. It was kind of because Sasha said, I'm not ready yet. Do you think Sasha would ever be ready?
No.
Do you think she was just like finding excuses in her mind about doing it or going on the mission?
I mean, I definitely think she's definitely going to do it, but...
It just felt like she was delaying it unnecessarily.
Yeah, but she is delaying it, I think, yeah.
Because the way she said, you know, I'm not ready. She wasn't confident, right? Like, it sounded like an excuse. Because yeah. She is ready, right? When are you ready? You have the gun, you have the bullets. What else do you need?
The will to die.
You know, but then she said, you know, Rosita's going with her without me. So I think Rosita coming there and then kind of pushed her further. And then Enid...
She's saying a bunch of different things because she's saying, she acts like she's... At first I thought it was like, oh, she wants to go with Rosita so Rosita doesn't kill herself. She's really protecting her. Then she wants to go just to get a shot herself, or is she going just to kill herself? Because she has felt suicidal before. When her ex-lover died, she just was about to have herself be buried by walkers. Remember, she would just lie in the walkers?
Mm-hmm.
Because she just needed to get away. So I don't know. She's very flip-flopped about what she wants with life or death, but she does definitely want to kill Negan. That is for sure.
Mm-hmm.
She just doesn't know if she wants to come back alive or not. And, you know, they part ways, but the saviors decide to come early and everyone's rushing to hide Maggie, Daryl. And that's it, right? Those are the only two people they needed to hide.
Yeah.
And so, maybe Sasha too.
Yeah.
And Rosita didn't, and no one knew that Rosita was there. And so, yeah, Gregory has the saviors come in, and Simon tells Gregory that Negan wants somebody, and it's the doctor. And your prediction was right. I think you read somewhere that you said that the doctors were brothers.
Yeah, so this reveals that the two doctors are brothers, and we mentioned that in the past episode that they were. And when Negan killed the doctor, that's why he was so relaxed and comfortable. Not because of Eugene is a doctor, but because he knew that Hilltop had a doctor. So,
and they could just pull from the resources.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
So, well, at first when Simon came in to ask Gregory about the one man that they want, I thought it was Daryl.
Yeah,
I thought
too.
It was like,
but
oh,
I'm like, didn't they already come by?
They know Daryl's here, so they want him.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think is going on with Gregory?
And Simon?
I think Gregory is going to be the one, because everyone so far that we've seen in this season is on board with fighting the saviors, right? And the war in general. Mm-hmm. Even people who are reluctant say, yeah, okay, I'm on board. But Gregory seems to be the only one who I think in the future will throw a monkey wrench into the whole
business. Oh, totally. I think maybe even sooner than we think, because Gregory is a coward, and he wants to do anything to make the saviors happy. And this whole hiding hostages type of thing, hiding fugitives type of thing, is not going well with him because he has to lie, and he doesn't get what he wants, and he's being taken advantage of by Jesus. And so he's testing the waters to see how he feels with Simon, trying to please Simon, saying, oh, your taste is tequila now? Okay. And, you know, he wants to do whatever it takes to get on the good side, the good graces of the savior. So I completely believe by the end of this episode, I totally believed he's going to sell them out.
Yeah, I thought he almost did at there for a point, because he said to Simon when they were doing the one-on-one dialogue, there could be rumblings, like people could uprise. He knows who he's talking about,
mm-hmm.
like Maggie and them.
Mm-hmm.
That might happen. You never know. Simon's like, who? Tell me who. And I was like, well, you know, just hypothetically, you know, it's just worst case scenario.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh man, that was close.
Exactly. Like he's on the, the reason why he hasn't done it is because he wants something out of it.
Exactly.
So he's trying to set the foundation for that. But I definitely feel like he's going to do something stupid and sell them out somehow. And they're going to have to get fighting quicker than they wanted to. Because now they have the advantage of being a surprise attack, but I feel like Gregory is going to set it off, so it's not a surprise anymore. And then we go back to Sasha and Rosita, and they're escaping on foot because they have this like this tunnel that they built that Maggie had them build.
Yeah,
under the fence.
Yeah, and also when Sasha takes Rosita to the tunnel, she says, "Oh, this was there for Maggie to escape." And it takes you to the other side, which is the title of this episode, The Other Side. And we see that theme about the other side. And I think the reason why this episode is called The Other Side, in addition to this tunnel scene, is because they're just showing us the other side of everything, you know? The other side of...
The other perspective.
Yeah, like people who, like Rosita and Sasha's side. Who are doing this thing. So, yeah, and they still are not friends, you know, on speaking terms. And Rosita says, you know, you can only talk to me if it's about the mission.
Yeah.
And Sasha says, okay, well, if it's about the mission, I'll just, let's talk about the mission. And then they're talking about the mission, and then we see this conflict of Sasha wants, because we know Sasha's a perfect shot, pretty much.
Yeah, yeah.
We've seen her from a previous seasons and episodes. She's a perfect shot. I mean, that's her thing. Sasha is a good shot.
Mm-hmm.
So she's like, you know, I won't miss.
Like, don't worry.
I thought that was kind of a slap in the face to Rosita, because don't forget, Rosita was face to face with Negan, and she fired a bullet and missed.
She missed. Oh, I didn't even think about that. Yeah.
So if you want to read between the lines, she's like, "I won't miss." Like, oh, okay, because Rosita did miss. If you think about
that was good. That was good.
I do you think that Rosita wants to go in face to face because she wants to die or not? Like, what?
Both. I think she wants to kill Negan and she wants to die. Well, maybe, like, not die, but I think, like, she doesn't care if she dies.
Yeah.
Like, she doesn't care. I mean, I don't think she's going in to commit suicide, but I think she doesn't care. She's so set on avenging him and avenging these people that she doesn't care.
Yeah, so you think that her saying that, oh, you know, you might miss and stuff like that, is just an excuse to change the conversation to say, you know, we have to go inside. Or do you think Rosita actually believes that?
She just wants to go and face to face with Negan.
Yeah.
She wants to make sure the job is done, because she couldn't get it done before. So she doesn't want to make the same mistake twice, because then there will be consequences, like someone she cares about dying again.
Yeah. So there was a lot of good filming in this episode. And one scene that we saw was when they were talking and walking. You see them come up to some walkers. They kill two walkers.
That was pretty cool.
Like, no big deal. And then they continue walking and talking. This is rare. We don't see a lot of scenes like this in The Walking Dead, where it's a continuous shot and then they're walking, talking, and then doing some action and then continuing walking after that.
That's
so I think,
true.
So I think it was a good... So I think they did a few things in this episode, which was different cinematically.
I agree.
And I think killing the walkers almost was like taking out their frustration on the anger they feel
towards each other
and the discussion onto the walkers, and then, you know, move on.
Because I liked when they were looking, because they were looking for cars, and I don't know if this is the same scene, but she notices Sasha's necklace, which is the same thing. I was trying to go back in my memory and then I remembered, but Sasha, but Rosita made that for Abraham out of a brake light from
a car.
I don't remember what's exactly, but she gave it to him as a gift. The only reason why Sasha has it, I thought it was because Abraham gave it to her, but then I'm like, no.
She found it on the ground.
She found it and she knew it was his. She just didn't know where it came from, but she knew it was his. So she's like, oh, you like it? I made it. I thought that was really, that's like such a typical girl thing. Like,
And then she says, oh, the car's dead. Like, maybe, like, Abraham's dead.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm reading between the lines.
It's a little more dramatic. But, yeah, maybe.
At first, when I first saw it, I thought she was pretending that the car couldn't start. But, no, it wasn't that sinister. The car,
yeah.
She actually touched the wires. It was the battery was dead. One scene that was kind of, didn't have a lot of point to it. In the same scene with Rosita, when Rosita was set fire to the car,
I didn't get it. I'm like, okay, so this is just them showing us how they're badass and they got a car. I thought they were already at the camp already and they were just breaking a hole. That was like so much effort for just getting a car.
Yeah, I think that was a silly scene. Well, they set fire to the car because they wanted to. Later on, I thought about it. They wanted to get the walkers to come to the car. And then the walkers would get distracted with the fire, and then they would jump to another car and hotwire and leave. So I guess that was the point, but it was kind of risky. And I mean, I don't know how close they were to Negan's compound because they could see the fire, right? Fire attracts
people. So I don't know. I thought that was a little unnecessary.
Attracts a lot of walkers
at
too.
Best. Another scene that I thought that was kind of unnecessary is when Enid tries to distract the Hilltop, the savior, by giving him veggies, and he says, they call them vegetables. We have time. And like, he takes her knife, and I guess it was just so that Maggie could see the knife. But I just thought this scene was really bad. I don't know. I didn't like it.
And also to indicate that this particular savior takes his time and cares about saying things.
Like, what a character, properly. What a weird character choice. Okay.
Well, no, he likes taking his time. So that way, when he goes into the storage, to people will say, oh my, this guy takes his time. So he's going to find out.
Oh, if they're in there or not.
I don't know. I'm just extrapolating.
I know. Just trying to, yeah. But yeah, I just did that. That scene was really weird. Yeah.
Have you noticed that everything they've shown us, every savior that they show us that goes out and interacts with the communities, I'm not saying every savior that's ever shown, only the ones that interact with the community, they're all assholes. Have you noticed that?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's because they get to do whatever they want.
I'm just saying that it's always like the worst character people that they show. I guess that indicates that those are the only people that go out there, right? You have to be like that in order to be out there.
Yeah, but to do what you have to do and make the hard decisions. Because they could kill people when they want. And so they want people who can do that.
Yeah, and Enid had an interaction with a savior in Alexandria, kind of similar to this guy, but
it took her balloons.
Yeah.
Go back to the medical trailer where Simon talks to Dr. Carson. And they say, they need your medical services. And they basically, a long-winded way of saying, your brother's dead, we need you back, and just you. And in exchange, I'm glad you put this here, because I had no idea what those things were, but there was a crate of aspirin just to replace it. And they're like, just give him aspirin. Kind of a slap in the face.
Yeah. A little trivia here.
Trivia!
The crate was designed to look like the one that held the Ark in Indiana Jones and Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Oh, on purpose?
I guess the creators did it just as a fun Easter thing to do.
Oh, that's funny.
So when he opens the crate to look at the aspirins, there could have been an Ark in there, in Indiana Jones.
What?
Alexander and I watched the whole Indiana Jones series a few weeks ago.
Oh, really?
That was fun. Yeah, we watched all the episodes.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Man, I miss you guys. Can we do that again when I come home?
No.
Okay.
we'll find some other movie series to watch.
Okay.
Maybe watch old 80s stuff like the Goonies and stuff.
Yeah. Anyway, back to the show.
I like Simon in this episode. I mean, not just in this episode.
He's very funny. But he has his own show now. He has another show.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. I saw a poster for it in LA. It was like for a TV show that is coming out.
Hmm. So he, because he's like, the doctor says, well, why do you need two doctors? And Simon just doesn't say anything. He's just like, well, makes an expression with his face. He says, well, I thought I had an expressive face. I guess not.
People say I have an expressive face. the writing for him is good. He gets all the good lines. So, yeah, we go back to Roy because we find out his name is Roy. He's searching the cellar. And Daryl gets held back by Maggie because he's ready to fight. And then we finally have a clip where Daryl, I guess for the first time since getting back, actually talks to Maggie.
Ever since you got here, you haven't said a word to me.
Would you look at me? Please.
Daryl.
I'm sorry. It wasn't your fault.
It was. No, it wasn't. You're one of the good things in this world. That's what Glenn thought. And he would know. Because he was one of the good things too. Kill that guy too. I want to string them all up and watch them die. But we have to win. Help me win.
Help me win. Yeah, that's true. That's why she had to hold back, because they want to win. Unlike Sasha and Rosita, who don't have patience, Maggie has the patience to pick and choose her moments.
Yeah, and she's also...
she wants to win. She doesn't want to have like something where they have to go back and fix it again.
Yeah, and she also asking Daryl to come to her side and be on board and help her out.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I can't do this alone. I need everyone on my team, and including you, Daryl. So put aside those feelings and let's move on with it. Yep. I think that's what the whole point of that. And I think there was a question always in everyone's mind. I mean, when we were watching the show, was it Daryl's fault that, you know, Glenn got killed? You know, Daryl should have just not flew up like that and should have kept quiet, and maybe Glenn would be alive. I think Negan is Negan, and no matter what you do, there is no way to predict what he's going to do. So no matter what you do, I mean, Glenn could have died anyway. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Because he's unpredictable that way on purpose.
But it was a touching moment, because we finally answered the question does Daryl feel guilty? And he does.
And also, how does Maggie feel about it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And everyone's cool now.
Yeah, we're all cool with each other. Now we can fight. Thank you. The Hilltop residents gather as they watch the Saviors take Dr. Carson, and almost Gregory's sensing the trust that he's losing from them, their disappointment, and he gets uncomfortable. And
yeah, because everyone's looking at Gregory like, how could you let this happen?
Why are you letting this happen? I mean, and plus, Dr. Carson's a nice guy. He's a good doctor.
Gregory is, well, he's an obstetrician. He's the one doctor that Maggie needs to keep her baby, keep her baby alive and good health.
And if we're going back to Rosita, and they find a empty building near the sanctuary, and this is where they have their moment, but they notice that Eugene is working with them, and they just think, Rosita thinks, oh, that's just Eugene just trying to get an angle. This is what he does. He does this. He just tries to get on the good side of them.
Which is interesting, because Rosita, even though she has this animosity towards Eugene, she still deep down thinks that he's a good guy. He's not evil. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
She still thinks, she thought that, hey, you know, Eugene's he's just trying to figure out something. Mm-hmm. Which, I don't know, what do you think?
I honestly, I never believed that for a second that he was doing anything to help the group. I think he was just trying to save his own hide. And you could totally tell it when Rosita confronted him. He started crying because he realized what he's doing is bad. Like, these are the people that trusted him and that he worked so hard to gain their approval from. And... you know, he's found an out, but he's too happy in being safe. He's kind of like one of those people in the apocalypse that is like, if you can't beat him, join him kind of guy. And he's done that. Even though it's probably he still feels ties to his old group, he finds that he'll survive better with the other group, with the Saviors. Someone who's stronger. And he likes the title and the power he gets. That's what he's always wanted.
Well,
and he got it so easily than back home. So I think he does... I mean, I think there's still time for him to switch, but I doubt it.
Yeah, I think based on who the character Eugene is, I don't think he would have left with them. Like, if it was Daryl, yeah, he totally would have ran out there with them, right? Mm-hmm. But Eugene, first of all, Eugene is smart. He knows that he only saw Sasha and Rosita, like, okay, these two people just came, like, and I'm going to go where with them? Like, he realizes that this is not a really good plan, so...
This is a suicide mission you guys are on.
He quickly realized that, this is not the time for me to leave. And you know what I'm saying? He weighed all his options.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, no, not yet. Which means that what I'm trying to say is he's not evil in the sense, he's just looking after himself. And I think this was not the right time for him to leave.
No, not at all.
And I think if the time comes, let's say if a battle goes down and everybody storms the camp and he sees like a huge force coming, he's going to say, hey, guys, how's it going? And he's going to go back with the Alexandrians in without a problem.
Only when it's convenient.
Exactly. He just cares about, you know, how he can survive with the least amount of bloodshed on his part.
Because he knows he can't fight, so he has to use his wits.
Because if you think about it, he could have killed Negan with the pill, but he didn't. You know, things like that indicate that he's not...
And he can walk around freely now, so he could have left anytime he wanted.
He could have left. He could have... Yeah. He had the keys. He could have walked out. He didn't. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, he's not a prisoner. You know what I'm saying?
He doesn't even help them. He just runs away.
Right.
Like, so, he could stay and then just help them, but nope. He's like, nope. Because he's tried so hard to be a part of the group that he doesn't want to...
Well, he would have been killed probably instantly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because technically, you know, he just did come from the other group, so we don't know his ties. They don't trust him. They wouldn't trust him off the bat.
And the reason why they hold up in that building is so that they can sniper.
Negan. This is supposed to be the end of the end, but obviously the writers can't have us just kill Negan like that. So obviously we're not going to get that, but we do have them there so they can bond one-on-one time. And hopefully they can think about what they're doing.
Rosita opens up to Sasha, revealing where she picked up her many talents. She learned about bombs from Johnny, cars from Marcus, knots from Chaser. What was the name called? Chaser. Anyway, from men she dated. They wanted to protect her. Rosita tells Sasha, but she's always ended up surpassing their skills. I would outgrow them and then bounce. The sex was just for fun.
I hope I'm Rosita in the apocalypse, where I just pick up things from people, because I am a small person and everybody feels like I can't do anything. But it'd be great if I could have the ability to absorb their skills and then be able to be better at them.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's my apocalypse.
Because everyone was wondering, you know, how does she know about bombs? And she dresses in this weird military outfit. So they thought maybe she was in the military or something, because we were all wondering, right? But yeah. It turns out not. She's just very smart.
She's a jack of all trades kind of girl.
She's kind of Eugene in that sense, you know?
Using
her head. So, but she's not a coward, that's for sure. Like Eugene is.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, so she learned all those skills. And here's a clip of her talking about her relationship with Abraham.
You know the thing that killed me? When we got to Alexandria, I was acting like I was all good because he wasn't. Then the son of a bitch was actually all good. And I couldn't figure this one out. Living there, feeling like we had made it, I couldn't pick that up. Then when he bounced, I thought I hated you. Maybe I just hated that he figured out his shit first. I've never told anyone any of that stuff. Who I was, what I did. I'm glad that you felt like you could.
Now that I heard it again, I understand what she says.
She could have picked up his skill of adapting to when you don't need to fight anymore to survive. Because he did. He was ready to start a family, remember?
With Sasha. To have a baby. He was asking about babies and stuff.
Yeah, so but she wasn't, so he went to Sasha because she was.
Yeah.
And she just couldn't get over that because she couldn't adapt to that yet. And she never got to tell him that she was happy that he was happy. And, you know, she said, I wasted so much time being upset at you when I didn't need to.
And there's a lot of words and phrases here that are used later on at the end. For example, Sasha asked Rosita to show her how to tie the knot. And Rosita says, it won't matter soon. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, why should I teach
her? She's still ready to die, and that's why she's not going to die.
This is also used at the end when Sasha says back to her, it does matter. Yeah, something's got to matter. And also when she says, no, it wasn't Abraham's time, right?
Yeah, she says to Rosita, it's not your time either.
Yeah, Sasha says to Rosita, it's not your time. So these lines Sasha grabbed from this dialogue and throw it back at Rosita at the end.
Ooh, yeah, which probably make her feel like, oof, man, that is, wow. But yeah, so Sasha notices, because after this body moment, Sasha goes back to the rifle and she sees that Dr. Carson is with Negan again, and Negan comes out and she can't take a shot. And they hear Eugene on the walkie-talkie ordering saviors to beef up the fence. So they need to go in before then, right? Is that what they're trying to... That's why they decided to go in?
They decided to go in because Eugene asked them to bring...
Walkers to the fence.
To scavenge the surrounding buildings and area for walkers, which means that there's going to be a bunch of saviors walking around looking for things, and Sasha and Rosita will be eventually found.
Mm-hmm.
So they said, well... Now we have to move in.
Yeah, no choice. We can't stay here anymore. Yeah,
which was convenient to get them to move, but hey. We also briefly saw how the molten metal works on the walkers at the fence.
Yeah, how that keeps them at the fence without destroying them, and so they can still be alive and protect them.
Yeah.
Which is very fun. It's very interesting. It's very kind of smart. Thanks to Eugene.
Yeah, and Eugene said later on, as he was walking in the courtyard with that other security person,
mm-hmm.
"Oh, these walkers on the fence are okay for the casual passerby, but they're not good enough security for what we really want." You know,
that doesn't help. Like, he's working for them. Like, he's helping the
Yeah, he's trying to make the fortification even better, which makes it worse for Alexandrians kind of come in or attack or whoever wants to attack, which is again saying, you know, you should be working against them, not for them. Like, slowly poison their water so they all die or something.
Yeah, not make them stronger.
Yes.
Not feed them.
So we have a scene where
which convinces me that Gregory is going to do something to betray the Hilltop and Alexandria.
Which he orders Jesus to split up some people, and Jesus even confronted them. He's like, well,
I'm surprised you're even saying this, because
you're splitting up the group. That means you're trying to protect yourself.
Yeah. You know, I was half expecting you to kneel for Simon today.
Yeah.
And then Gregory says, you don't know what might happen with all these saviors around. And then
Jesus is like, are you threatening me?
Coward. He says, well, you know, they basically says that's not what friends would do, you know. So now they're not friends. Now they're on opposite sides. And that was an interesting scene. It was kind of like, okay, now Jesus, Gregory gave away the fact that Jesus is not, now Jesus knows that Gregory is not on the same side.
Yeah.
And then we have Daryl asking where Sasha is, Sasha, Rosita are.
So do you think it's Daryl at the end? Because we have the big...
Oh, yeah. Did we have the crossbow in the back?
Well, there's a huge debate on the internet about that clip.
Oh my God. I'm going to go pull it up right now.
Because the obvious answer is yes, it's Daryl.
But then her reaction was so intense. Like, she was so surprised.
Yeah.
Do you think it was...
People think it's Dwight.
Dwight. Oh.
Because, you know, Dwight likes to dress like Daryl. And he has a crossbow.
Yes. Wait, are you saying that... Wait, where is Dwight right now? In the show?
Who knows?
Where did we last leave him?
He was in the compound. He helped burn the doctor, you know?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, so he's still around there somewhere. So people are thinking it's Dwight, but why would Dwight have a crossbow and he'd be standing outside the fence like that? You know,
yeah.
It's kind of a weird position to be in.
Yeah, unless Dwight was already trying to do some bad, but it doesn't make sense.
You know, how could he randomly just pop up like that? Was he, or maybe he went on a mission and came back?
No, I totally think it's Daryl. Because Daryl asked just at the scene before, where's Rosita and Sasha?
Right. He asked where they were. So it implies that Daryl was on his way to find them.
Yeah, really sad because Rosita's really upset about it. And she has to run away because they come out and she can't defend herself. So she has to leave.
I think the reason why people are thinking that it's Dwight is because people are hoping that Dwight still has some hope in him to turn on Negan. Yeah. And they're hoping that Dwight...
But I think he's like Eugene. I think he's very much like Eugene, where he's off for himself. It's totally Daryl. What the heck? People are so... They love to think, don't they?
Well, because the people are holding out hope that Dwight is actually a good guy deep inside and... He's going to turn at that moment and help them.
Yeah.
Right? Which...
Now that's not the moment, though. The moment's when everyone goes.
We don't know.
Well, I think.
Anyway, that's what the big debate is. Is it Daryl or is it Dwight?
Yeah, I think it's Daryl. I'm looking at it and I'm thinking it's Daryl, yeah. Anyway, so yeah.
So the final scene, we kind of talked a little bit about it, but Eugene discusses security with the Savior. And what was funny in that scene was the guy says, yeah, don't forget the other guy. I'm a good security guard. The other guy doesn't even know how to handle a gun. And as he's saying, like, how good he is, he gets shot in the head.
Yeah, through a walker.
It falls.
Yeah.
So much for that, being good at security.
Didn't even get your shot, man.
Yeah, didn't get your chance. And they urge Eugene to come and escape, but Eugene refuses.
It's like, I didn't ask you to come, so go.
Yeah, exactly. And Rosita's pissed off, as always. She's always pissed off at Eugene anyway.
Yeah. She's never really happy with him, ever.
And Sasha pulls a fast one on Rosita and says, I'm fixing the fence. Meanwhile, she's locking it behind her.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, why is this taking so long?
And she tells Rosita, hey, keep guard while I fix the fence. I'm like, okay. So Sasha realizes that Rosita, because of all her skills, is very important to the group. And, you know, she does.
If it wasn't for her, they wouldn't have been able to get all those bombs. That came in clutch.
Yeah, a lot of things that she's good at, you know. And Rosita cries and runs away in the opposite direction of whence she came.
Mm-hmm. And that's when she sees Daryl.
She sees a dark figure with a crossbow watching.
Oh my gosh, Daryl. And that's the end of this episode. I mean, it was good that they had the bonding session, but that could have been done without all the extra fluff.
Well, you can tell that the Walking Dead writers are playing the long game, because all of this buildup, I mean, all of this character development happened many episodes ago and even entire seasons ago with Abraham, for example, and the whole relationship. And now it plays out in this way, right? So basically the deaths that Negan, death of Abraham, death of Glenn, affects our characters for many seasons to come. And we see how the death of Abraham has affected these two characters. I mean, because if it wasn't for Abraham's death, Sasha wouldn't be on this mission. Mm-hmm. Rosita wouldn't be feeling this way. Mm-hmm. So these characters would be totally different if it wasn't for Abraham's death. So that affected them.
Yeah, Abraham's death has opened up a whole like trap full of juicy personality traits that we get to discover about these characters and juicy stuff. And I really liked that. I really liked their death, I guess, for that. Now we get to know more about Rosita and actually like her more. Same with Sasha. I also like her a lot more, too.
So I think they have depth. Do you think this is a turning point for Rosita in her character?
Oh yeah.
Development?
I feel like, I believe that the people that change you the most are the people you hate the most, or like the people you have the most problems with.
Because I know you hated Rosita. Her
attitude. Because I didn't understand her motivation. I didn't know what, like, who is this Rosita girl? Why is she so upset? We don't know anything about her. And now getting this, like, even like a small bit of background from her helped me so much to enjoy her character so much more. And I actually relate to her more than I relate to any other characters. So I'm really glad that this episode revealed that. If anything, I'm happy about that. All right. We've got some Facebook comments, and you said we've got a voicemail?
Yeah, we have a voicemail from KJ who wanted to point out something.
One question I have for you guys is, wasn't Gregory's head supposed to be given to the Saviors? What did I miss when, like, the Saviors got attacked expecting a drop-off of Gregory's head? Like, how is he talking to Simon and totally being okay? Let me know what I missed. All right, guys. Talk to you later. Bye.
So KJ,
that's a very good point.
Yeah. So that's a good point. I mean, what happened there? Why
did it go from kill Gregory to now we're best friends?
My only explanation to that is that the outpost which Alexandria attacked was an isolated Savior group and didn't mm-hmm. have direct communication at a detailed level with the main base. In other words, because we know that. All the different communities interact with remote Negan groups, right?
Yes.
Well, some are remote. Like, for example, Hilltop, the Kingdom has a different group. And mm-hmm. My guess is that the arrangement that outpost community group, Negan Group, made the agreement that they made with Hilltop wasn't passed back to Negan.
So it's separate.
So it was just between them. Basically, the drop was light, wasn't accurate. So they killed one of the Hilltop people. And then the guy came back to Hilltop and said, you know, I got a message for you. And then he stabbed Gregory in the stomach, remember?
Yeah.
In hindsight, now we know what's going on is if your load is light or something is wrong, because we saw that someone with the dies. Kingdom, right?
Yeah.
Someone dies and bad things happen. And so that's why I had to go back and dig up that episode. And here's one thing, one line from that show, that episode.
What?
Jesus said you've been taking supplies to Negan since the beginning. We're going to get Craig back.
Only way to get Craig back is to bring them Gregory's head.
So that was Rick talking to one of the Hilltop people where the whole Gregory's head came about. I think that was the deal where that's why the guy came back to Hilltop to kill Gregory to kind of avenge, or that was the agreement that the outpost Negan group made. It's like, well, we'll give you back this person, but you have to kill Gregory. And to prove that Gregory's killed, you bring the head back. But now that the whole outpost is gone, is burnt to the ground, nobody knows about that agreement. Or what happened.
Yeah, there we go.
That's my guess.
Gregory should be thanking them. That's why he's alive right now, to be honest.
Yeah, exactly.
He shouldn't be betraying his friends or his real saviors.
If Rick never got involved, Gregory would be dead. Basically.
Yeah, pretty much.
And then Jesus would be the leader.
Yeah, I totally forgot about that, but I'm glad we got to the bottom of that.
So that's what happened there.
We've got a Facebook comment from Christine. She says, I was disappointed they didn't show Daryl-Maggie reunion when Daryl first appeared. This episode made up for that. Great episode. Oh, yeah, she wanted to see their reunion being reunited, but I guess Daryl needed to have time to mull over the fact that he feels guilty, so that's why they didn't see each other. And then Teddy replies, you pointed out one of the best parts of the episode, Daryl finally letting go of some of the blame he put on himself about Glenn. I also liked Rosita coming to grips with her feelings about Abraham and Sasha. Too bad one or both will probably die. Because that's how the show is. Once people are content with their life, that's when they die. That's when their time is up.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Sasha will die, though. I don't think Rosita will die, but I think Sasha will die.
And Bubba Zanetti, it's trivial, but I was surprised by how unpregnant Maggie still looks. The ultrasound showed a kid. The ultrasound showed a kid already wearing school clothes, but Maggie doesn't even have a bump. Yeah, that's the comment I was talking about that someone was mentioning that earlier.
Yeah, that's funny.
They kind of made that. That was kind of strange. Like I said, there was like a full-grown baby in that ultrasound picture.
Unless they zoomed in, I don't know. Can you zoom in with ultrasounds? Get a clearer picture?
Here's the little pea-sized human. No, you can't do that. No zooming. One thing I wanted to say in this episode is that Sasha has an awesome jacket. I want that jacket.
Oh, really? I wasn't really paying attention. Oh, the leather one? Yeah, I know.
With the
ooh, I was totally into it.
The folding front part.
Yeah.
The zip up neck thing.
The leather jacket I have now is getting old and ratty, and I need a new one. And that one looks pretty nice.
Fashion wise, Sasha was wearing that jacket really well.
I really like Sasha. And Rosita, too.
Too bad she's going to die. So the themes of this episode are Gregory is going to cause problems.
Sasha
will probably die at some point.
Eugene is a coward.
Still.
And only cares about himself. Still. What else is new?
Daryl has shown up and he might help. So Sasha might still die. Rosita might still die because, you know, Rosita might not go back. She might join with Daryl and they might go back in to save Sasha. Or maybe everyone gets trapped again and
oh my gosh, I hate making predictions.
Has to listen to Easy Street again.
Oh my god. Never ending.
But I think the next episode is gonna forget all about this and put us on hold. I have a feeling.
I know. They're gonna go back to something else, like back to Carol.
No, I think they're going to go to
Rick and Ocean, try to figure out
Oceanside or whatever that place is called.
Yeah, yeah.
Beachside, beachfront property community. We have to figure out what that's how they're going to get the guns from there. And do we have only two episodes or three? Let me see here. Yeah, so we only have two episodes left. And my gut feeling says there's not going to be a war.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Or it will be a war, but not the way we want it.
There's something not right about only having two episodes left.
Yeah.
I don't see that happening, that they're going to finalize this. But hey, you never know. Well, it's complicated now that Sasha went in. Everything's up in the air, right? Because
yeah,
that could change the whole plan that Rick and the group have.
Well, we've come to the end of the show. Thank you all for listening to this episode. If you like what you hear, please tell your friends and everyone you know. We love to get new subscribers. You can send email feedback to talkback@thewalkingdeadgirl.com. And as always, this is Jasmine.
And I'm Michael.
Stay alive.